Let's open our Bible to John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. And the reason they follow him is they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him. For they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, he that is hired of someone to watch the sheep, and he's not the shepherd, but he's just paid to watch the sheep, whose own the sheep are not, when he sees the wolf coming, what will he do? He'll leave the sheep, and he'll flee, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and he doesn't care for the sheep. But I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I don't run when trouble comes. Another sheep I have which are not of this fold, speaking of the Gentiles, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why do ye hear him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind, as he did back in chapter 9? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long do you make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered him, I've told you. And you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And here's the reason they don't believe. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Because my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered him, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these good works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered him, Is it not written in your law, I said, You are gods? If he called them gods into whom the word of God came and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at the first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. And you hope that they really believed. And if they believed, the reason they believed, they were a sheep. The other goats, you know what they want to do? They want to stone him. We want to say he's mad. You imagine looking at something like, you're full of the devil. Our text will be verses 27 through verse 30 of chapter 10. We just read, my sheep hear my voice. Isn't that such amazing that we hear his voice? And I know them when they follow me. I read several years ago, I did a study on the shepherd and his sheep. And they said you can take, a lot of shepherds and their flocks. They all, probably go down to maybe one watering hole. And when they get down there, all them sheep get all mingled up. Well, how do you know which shepherd, which one is that are his sheep? When he gets ready to go, he just says, come on, little sheep. And they start leaving. They won't follow another shepherd. He's their shepherd. He's the one that feeds them. He's the one that protects them. He's the one that watches over them. And if it's not for them, and if it's not for him, they will perish. Every one of them. They cannot survive on their own. They just cannot. Sheep can't. We know in the scriptures that sheep are a picture of God's elect. They describe us as a believer. We are weak, helpless, defenseless creatures. You take if a wolf gets run after a sheep, it can't run fast enough to escape. It has no way to defend itself. Weak. If it lays down, it'd get matted so much that it can't get up. Its wool will get so heavy, just weighs it down. And some just always want to stray, always wanting to stray. And he always having to go get them and pick them up. And I've heard them say that sometimes this may sound severe. You know what the shepherd would do? He would break the leg of that sheep. Within the whole time till that leg mends, he has to carry that sheep. He has to hand feed that sheep. And they said most of the time, after that leg mended, that sheep would not leave his side. Those that he loves, he rebukes and shakes and chastens. If sheep survive, it's because of their shepherd. If sheep perish, they're accountable that he wouldn't be much of a shepherd. Many who trust, like these Jews did in their works, they try to pervert the glorious truth that God's people shall not perish. Now you think about that. You may leave him, but he will never leave you. If he allows you to perish, if he loses one sheep, he would cease to be a shepherd. He would be a shepherd that you couldn't trust him. You imagine David. We don't know how old he was. He may have just been a teenage boy. And his father, Jesse, entrusted him with all his sheep. And he's out there by himself. It was not a fun job. Out there alone, just you and the sheep and the wild animals. And you watched over them. You led them to grass. But men try to justify their sin They try to ease their conscience by saying they're one of his sheep and they just live anyway. Not according to God's word. Those that he loves, as I've already mentioned, he rebukes and chastens. There was a big saying in Baptist churches years ago. I don't know if it still is or not. Once saved, always saved. You know, well, you know, you made a decision when you was 13 and never went to church since. Never rich, but you're saved and you're not going to perish. Perish that thought. Paul said, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You answer me, why would a sheep want to keep acting like a goat? Because it may be a goat. It may be a goat. Our Lord told him, those people that wanted to kill him. You know why he did? You know why they did that? He said, you're not of my sheep. That's why you don't believe. My sheep believe. My sheep know my voice. They follow me. You don't follow me because you're a bunch of goats. That's plain and simple. When he divides humanity, that's how he's going to divide them. When he sits upon his sovereign throne, he's going to divide the sheep from the goats. The sheep's going to be on his right hand and the goats on the left. The sheep, he'll say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You bunch of goats, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Some people that don't, they always trying to live by laws and regulations. When you tell men that God's people will never perish. Never. They say, well, that just give a man license to live any way he wants to. If you could live any way you wanted to, if you're a believer, you would never sin again. You'd never have another wrong thought or another wrong motive, and you would want to glorify your Father in everything you did. You wouldn't try to see how much you could get by with. That's not grace. I can tell you that, lamb. I'm listening for the shepherd. He says, come here, little shepherd. Come here, little sheep. And they can lay down and rest. You know why? He's watching over them. I can tell you this. Sheep know who keeps them. They know this. You don't keep yourself. You can't keep yourself for a second. Not 1 second. Perseverance. That means that all of his sheep will persevere to the end. That means that they will continue in the faith. It means that sheep believe and they will keep on believing. It says in Hebrews 11, they all died in faith. Not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That describes sheep were just strangers and pilgrims. But how did they die? Go read 2 Samuel 23 to see how David died. He's made with me an everlasting covenant. My house is in a mess. My house is in a mess. But this is all my salvation. Jesus said unto the Jews one day, John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. John said, I think it's in 1 John, I believe it is. He said, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would not have went out from us. But they went out that they might be manifested, basically, that they were not sheep. Basically, that's what he's saying. They persevere. He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. That's not just when you get ready to die. That's your life. He's leading us right now through a valley. And it has a lot of scary shadows. And they're just shadows. But to a sheep, those shadows are terrifying. Sandy read one time, they can't see real well. Doesn't that describe us? So things look distorted. You know, it's just like you're getting ready to go through a gate, and he goes, what is that? Well, it's like it's just a shadow. Well, he don't think it's a shadow. Many times, if we're not careful, by God's grace, we see things which are not there. It's just a shadow. It's the shadow of death. A shadow can't hurt you. A shadow has no substance. But yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. It doesn't say that evil's not there. Evil is there. We shall not fear, for he is with us. Isn't it comforting to know we don't have to be afraid? And you're going to come through the other side. You know why? Because he's already went through death. He's already endured death. Then we have they are preserved. Those that are born of God will persevere till the end in faith. And God's elect, Christ, his sheep, are preserved. They are kept in Christ. Listen, preservation is God keeping his people. Now listen to this. Preservation is God keeping his people in faith. That's why he keeps you. He keeps you. If you keep believing, it's because he enables you to believe. He puts you in situations to try your faith, so you look to the shepherd, not to yourself. It is the Lord holding the believer by the hand of grace. I could see him taking his rod and his staff. And they'd say that he had put it on the other side of the sheep. And as he walked along a cliff, and he would protect that sheep with his rod and with his staff. He's protecting them. He's preserving them by the hand of his grace. And then there is perseverance. Is the believer continuing in the faith? It is the believer holding Christ by the hand of faith. Why do you not want to leave him? Because he loved me and gave himself for me, and because he puts it in your heart to love him. You love the shepherd. You know what? You love the sheep. We're all just sheep. But he makes a distinction between sheep and goats. And you've heard me say it, and I'll keep saying it. Goats never become sheep. Never. And sheep never become goats. Jacob have I loved. That's a sheep. Esau have I hated. That's a goat. And Esau always hated. I mean, he always acted like a goat. Always. And they always will. You were a sheep. You were a lost sheep. You acted just as wild and wandered and did your own thing. But it's just like in Luke 15, he says he leaves the 99 and goes finds that one lost sheep. And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulder and he brings it home rejoicing. He said, I've found my lost sheep. My sheep. God makes a distinction between sheep and goats. Unbelievers are referred to as goats. We don't have sheep. We may have sometime, but we don't have any now. But I can tell you right now, I can tell you a little bit about goats. All they want to do is butt something. You can go in there with them with feed. Oh yeah, they love to feed, but they don't care how much they walk over you to get it. Because they don't much care about you. They just care about the food. And when they see you, it ain't that they really love you. They may act like they do, and they may somewhat, but they just want the food. And they love to eat briars. Sheep don't. No goat eat about anything. They'll eat a tin can. Really. Isn't it amazing how that even in nature, God created things to illustrate his people. The shepherd. The shepherds were watching over their flocks by night, pulling the third shift, the night shift, and just so happened the angel of the Lord came to them men. Not to anybody else. To those shepherds who were watching, probably they say those sheep were the sheep that were designated for sacrifices. And they brought those shepherds to the shepherd. You know who the goat was in the bunch? Herod. He told the wise men, he said, when you go find him, you tell him, I want to go meet him. I want to go worship him. No, he didn't. Why did he want to kill him? He's a goat. He acted like a goat. I love what Brother Fortner used to say. I'll never forget the first time I heard it. He said over, you know, across from where their church building was at, across the road, they'd build a great big new building. He said, all that is a goat farm. And that's what it is. And he said, that's all it is. That's all they produce is unbelievers who think they're saved. They think they keep themselves. And they think they can act like a sheep. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Because he said there in verse 25 and 26, Jesus answered, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. You know what work they just seen him do? Go back and read chapter 9. That whole chapter deals with him healing a man that had been born blind. He did this, and can you imagine, how did this happen? How can he give sight to the blind? He's God. That's why he did what he did. He said, John didn't come doing miracles. Tell me a miracle that John did. He didn't. But Christ did. He said, you've got a devil in you. And that's exactly the same response you will get when men hear the gospel of God's grace. You're full of the devil. You're beside yourself. You're mad. But our shepherd, he knows his sheep. Someone said they have his brand on them. They're his. They're his by choice. They're his by purchase. Our Lord knows who his sheep are, where they are, what they are, and what they have done and all that has been done. And he knows what he will make of them. And he knows they're all going to make it home. Because he calls his sheep. I can't explain it, but I told someone a while back. They was talking about going to some church, and I said, all I can say is, I said, you go. You hope that they do preach the truth. You hope they do. You don't know till you go. If you've never been. But I said, I do know this. My confidence is not in you. My confidence is in God. If you're his sheep, you'll just know. And that's the only way I know to describe it. If you're his sheep, you'll know. You know, you've heard things before and you go, they just something about that, ain't they? You know, what is death in the pot. They're not bragging on the shepherd. They're bragging on something else. And it wasn't long after that he said, you know, I can't explain it. They were good. They were kind people. They were good to him. He said, and it served a purpose in his time. But he said, I just can't go there. That's evidence of God's grace. Because we've just read either his sheep hear his voice or they don't. And how are they going to hear his voice? God's not going to speak in some audible voice. If God's going to speak to you, he's going to speak to you through an under shepherd. He said, I'm going to give you shepherds according to my own heart, which will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. And you said, I can't explain it. But I hear him. And we follow him. And if we don't hear him, you know what sheep do? They get a little afraid. They flee from a stranger. And this is what a wonderful gift. I give unto them eternal life. And they're not going to perish because I have given unto them eternal life. They didn't earn it. They didn't merit it. He gave it to them. It's not an offer of God. It's an operation of God on their heart. It's not some offer. There was nothing in us. Why in the world would God choose you? Why in the world would God save you? You were just like everybody else. You know, I'm going to use you a minute. I remember Danny telling me when he said he heard of Henry, he said, I got to go meet that man. Why would a man drive all the way to Ashland, Kentucky just to hear a man? He heard more than a man. My sheep hear my voice. Because you know what? They talk about the shepherd. All we want to do is talk about him. Boy, that's a good meal he gave us this morning, Linda. Boy, it's nice to lay down in this green grass. It's not, you know what? It's nice to be able to lay down and not have to be afraid. Well, I hear the wolf howling, yeah, but you don't have to worry. He'll take care of you. It says in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And there's nothing, now listen to me, and this is what bothers a lot of people who don't know grace and don't know the shepherd, that nothing, I mean, there was nothing you did to get God to love you. Nothing. And there's nothing you could ever do to make him stop loving you. Someone said one time, God loved David as much when he was laying in the arms of Bathsheba as when he was sitting on the throne. And he loved Samson just as much as when his head was laying in the lap of Delilah. It never altered the love of God. Now that's hard for us to grasp. Hard for us to comprehend. It's hard for us to believe, but that's just a fact. And I'm thankful it is. Listen to what it says. Turn to Psalms chapter 89. Psalms 89, beginning in verse 30. If his children, Psalms 89, verse 30. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquities with stripes. But nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth. Once I have sworn by my holiness, that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. If he once gives the gift, he won't take it away. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Whatever God does, he shall do it forever. Nothing can be taken from it or nothing get put to it that God men may fear. He said, because I live, you live also. And you know, this is a promise. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. Someone said, what if they are babes in Christ and their faith is weak? They'll never perish. What if they're young men in Christ and their passions are still strong? They'll never perish. What if they are old men and their visions grow dim like Isaac's did? And you bless the wrong one, but you really bless the right one. They'll never perish. What if they are tempted? They'll never perish. What if they are tried? They'll never perish. What if they sin? They'll never perish. What if they sin again? They'll never perish. What if they fall? They'll never perish. What if they fall 7 times a day? They'll never perish. What if they fall 70 times a day? They'll never perish. What a promise. The thing is, we know that we are just sheep. Frail, weak, wandering sheep. And it's not just the sum of the flock. He don't just promise it to the whole flock. Noah's fall, when he got drunk, didn't alter God's grace. Abraham's weakness when he lied and said, Sarah's my sister, to save his own skin, didn't make God's grace any less. Lot's wickedness, committing incest with his own daughters and producing the Amorites and the Moabites, didn't make him any less righteous before God. God said he vexed his righteous soul. David's crime did not cause him to perish. Peter's denial didn't cause God to deny him. I'll give you 7 reasons why God's sheep shall never perish. Number 1, God's promise must be fulfilled. I thought about maybe sometime bringing a message just on the promises of God. You know, just going through the scriptures and just reminding us once again. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You think about that, never. You will never perish. Never. The foundation of God stands sure, having this seal: the Lord knows them that are his. Then secondly, the purpose of God. God's purpose cannot be destroyed. You imagine God chose all his sheep and gave them to Christ before the world was made. And then he's going to become the Lamb of God to take away the sin of his sheep. And it cannot be altered. Listen, in John chapter 6, turn back, John 6 verse 37. John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me. That's the purpose of God, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. What could be stronger than that? This is why he came down. This is the will of my Father. Is God's will going to be done? Well, sure it is. Men, all they want to do is talk about man's will. Let's talk about God's will. If God willed something, it will come to pass in time. Why is this world still here? Why is it still existing? Why is it still spinning on its axis? Why? It's God's will. When he's when it served its purpose and fulfilled his will, he's done with it. And this whole thing just exists for his glory and the salvation of his people. And they shall never perish. They're going to hear his voice. They shall come to me. They shall come. Yeah, they're coming. In his time. Mark it down. We don't know how many he is bringing. Just because we don't see it, we don't know what he's doing. I was telling Danny, I received an email. I don't get many of these. And I got a little short email this morning from somebody in the United Kingdom. And they said, I've been listening to your messages. And I just want you to know I enjoy them. He said, at times it's comforting. And he said, at times it's terrifying. When you see yourself, it is. Take heed lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You know what that is? His sheep here. And that's God's purpose. Then, the seventh reason they'll never perish, he redeemed them. He bought them. I give my life for the sheep. If one sheep for whom he died perishes, he won't see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. It'd be like a woman going through the pains of travail to bring a child into this world. And they say to the mother, I have some bad news. The baby is stillborn. Can you imagine that? But all for whom Christ travailed, he saw the travail of his soul, and he was satisfied. He's redeeming his sheep. They've all been found not guilty. Court is over. Someone I know that went to court a while back and they signed papers before they went. Both parties signed papers. And you know, you have to go through the legal process and we got to go back before the judge. And the judge stamps it and says, that's it. Well, then they come back about a couple weeks later. I say, oh, we got another paper for you to sign. That ain't how it works. Court's over. That's it. You found not guilty. That's why they won't perish. Deliver him from going down into the pit. I found a ransom. And then God finished the work. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You think about there in Psalms 23. Now listen, he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Can you imagine if a shepherd was going to take his sheep, you know, he was going to bring them through town. I can see him as he's walking through town because you're going to see him because he's up standing up taller than the sheep. He's walking down through and they're all following him. Can you imagine everybody looking at them sheep? Their coats are clean. They're healthy sheep. You go, man, look at them sheep. Well, them good sheep ain't. You know why the good sheep? Because the shepherd took care of them. You know what would bring dishonor to his name? If they were a bunch of matted, filthy, vile sheep. He leads them in paths for his name's sake. He said, these are my sheep. Them are mine. I take care of my sheep. I love my sheep. I watch over my sheep. I'm not ashamed of my sheep. They're my sheep. And he'll finish the work. Listen, this is taken from a song, A Debtor to Mercy Alone by Augusta's Toplady. The work which God's goodness began, the arm of his strength will complete. His promise is yea and amen and never was forfeited yet. Things future nor things that are now, not all things below or above, can make him his purpose forego or sever my soul from his love. My name from the palms of his hands, eternity shall not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains, in marks of indelible grace. You know what the word indelible means? It's grace that can't be erased. He said he's engraved, think about you, he's graven you on the palms of his hand. Impressed on his heart it remains in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest is given. More happy but not more secure, the glorified spirits are in heaven. There might be more happy, but they're not any more secure. Then sixthly, the shepherd's prayer. And this is what I may try to speak on tomorrow for this Sunday for the radio. The shepherd's prayer must be answered. Remember there where our Lord, he spent one day, I think it's in Mark 4, he went to the synagogue and he cast out demons. He preached the gospel to them, and he comes home to Peter's house, and Peter's mother's sick of the fever, and he heals Peter's mother-in-law, and then everybody in the city get wind that Christ is at Peter's house. So everybody brings their sick, afflicted people that are demon-possessed, and he heals them. And he don't know what time it is before he ever gets to lay down. And then it said the next morning, a great while before day, he arose and got alone with the Father to pray. You know who he's praying for? I know. He's praying for his sheep. I know one time he told Peter, he said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fell not. Listen to these verses. Turn over to John 17. John 17, verse 9. It is just so plain. I pray for them. Well, who are the them? They are his sheep. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I would love to know what people do with that verse. He said, I'm not praying for the world. He didn't. I'm praying for them. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Lord, you keep these sheep. You know why? He knows he's getting ready to leave. His bodily presence won't be with them anymore. He's going to send his spirit. Verse 15. I don't pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. As these men go out and preach the gospel, as you gather those Gentile nations, and they were his sheep also. Remember he told the woman, he says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it into the dogs. She said, that's right, I'm a dog. But among those Gentiles, he had sheep. Ruth was a sheep. Rahab the harlot was a sheep. Naaman the Syrian was a sheep. Syrians, sheep. The widow of Zarephath was a sheep. They're sheep. He said, I pray that they would believe. I'm praying for them that will believe through the preaching of the gospel. And then the shepherd has sealed his sheep by his spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Danny, he's gone. He went back to glory, but he sent his Spirit, what, to keep you. How does he keep, keeps us by his hands? He said, no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and no one's able to pluck them out of my hands. That verse that I quoted was Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. You think he's going to forget you? In marks of indelible grace that will never be erased. Why was he wounded? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We're sealed. That means they're kept. You don't have to be afraid. How can we know if this promise is for us? If I trust Christ by his grace, this is for me. If you trust in Christ, this is for you. And if you've heard the shepherd's voice, you'll follow him. You know what? We're on the trail of his sheep. You go, how will we know the sheep? So somebody asked Spurgeon one time, said, well, you just preach and talk about the elect. And he said, well, if only the elect are going to be saved, why don't you just preach to the elect? He said, if you'll put a yellow mark down their back, that's the only one I'll preach to. But he said, but till then, I don't know who they are. But you know when you'll know who they are? When they follow him. They'll say, I'm leaving every bit of that. I'm not following that hireling anymore. He didn't care. He was just doing it for filthy lucre. They pretend they love the sheep. Oh, they don't love the sheep. Let somebody come along offering them a bigger paycheck, and you see what happens. They run and flee and just leave them alone. It ain't worth, you imagine. When David's getting ready as God's shepherd, picture of our Lord, he's going to go fight Goliath. He said, God delivered the lion and the bear into my hands, and God's going to deliver that Goliath into my hands. And he did. And they never perish. What a glorious truth. What a precious promise. May God enable us to believe it, to believe him, and rest in him. Let's pray.